AI has been a massive disruptive force over the past year. That's why we're excited to announce our brand new show, introducing AI Explored. It's a weekly show hosted by me, Michael Stelzner. If you want to understand how to put AI to work, this is the show for you. Each week, we'll dive deep into using AI to your advantage. We're talking the practical, tactical stuff that I know you're probably craving. Search for AI Explored on your favorite podcast app, and happy listening.
Welcome to the Marketing Agency Show, where we explore solutions to the biggest challenges faced by agencies.
Hey, y'all. Thank you so much for joining me for the Marketing Agency Show, brought to you by Social Media Examiner. I'm your host, Brooke Stellis, and this is the show for agency owners and agency marketers. We explore the topics that no one else is talking about, so pull up a seat to the table and let's have a great conversation. Today, I'll be joined by Amy Vaughn, who's going to tell you all about her massive membership program. Also, if you're new to this podcast, be sure to follow the show so you don't miss any of our future content. Let's transition over to this week's guest, Amy.
To help explore the frontier of working at and growing agencies, here is this week's expert guide.
Hey, everybody. Today, I am so excited to be joined by my friend, Amy Vaughn. If you don't know Amy, she's a rebel with a cause and former agency creative director turned entrepreneur. As the biggest champion and CEO of Together Digital, Amy proudly safeguards and nurtures the organization's mission, inspiring and empowering women in the digital space. Woohoo! Her upcoming book and app aim to empower women by addressing the networking gap. Amy's deep belief in vulnerability, purpose, and collaboration drives her commitment to creating positive change for thousands of professional women every single year. Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Brooke. It's great to be here.
So excited to talk with you. We recently came together through a Women Supporting Women networking group, small group, not Amy's group. And just, it's been fascinating to get to know you and what you're doing with networking and women in digital. So I'm really excited to chat with you today. But first things first, tell everybody what made you jump from your marketing agency to kind of this membership organization model.
So I was a member of the organization first. I joined back in 2016. I became a member and helped to start the Cincinnati chapter. I was working as a very busy creative director at a digital marketing agency, working on some very popular, well-known brands within the digital marketing and advertising space, working those kind of agencies 60, 70 hours a week, raising my two kids. And I started to really recognize and realize the numbers of, you know, there was only about less than 10% of women were creative directors within my field. Even less of those were moms. So I kind of felt a bit isolated. I had my title, I had my salary, but I didn't have that sense of connection. I didn't have a lot of women around me that looked like me, that were at the phase of life that I was in. And I really needed that sense of connection and understanding of those around me that were kind of in a similar, not just career stage, but life stage for the sake of career satisfaction. So I just needed a balance of my ambition with that sake of connection and community and network. I kind of have felt like I had achieved and climbed that ladder, but I was kind of just standing up there alone, looking around going, where are my peeps? So when I joined, I really felt that sense of camaraderie. I really looked around me and finally felt like I belonged somewhere. And a lot of folks looked at me and said, how do you find time to volunteer for an organization when you're raising two kids and working these hours? And I said, this is my me time. This is my time when I get to show up, much like we do with our Women Supporting Women group. And I get to be my ambitious self, but I also get to be my vulnerable self and say that it's hard to get up in the middle of the night and breastfeed and then show up the next morning and be a boss lady and hit the deadlines and have the brilliant ideas and impress the clients. But Together Digital really showed me that, for better or for worse, that we can still show up for one another and it can be hard, and that you're not alone. And so I really, really fell into stride with the community, loved my time with them, served on the board for 2.5 years. And then in 2019, I was about to step away and actually kind of hand the reins over to another member to become the board president when the founder asked me if I would take over the reins at the helm of the entire organization as the CEO. While she went to run for Congress, which was pretty amazing, something she never would have done, but a member encouraged her to do as much. And so really it was about when others see potential in you. That's another thing about growing your network and your community, is others seeing what you're capable of was another beautiful thing. So, you know, the founder going off and running for Congress, me as a creative stepping into an operations role, was just such a cool thing. And so I stepped away from a career in the creative field to an operations role in November of 2019, 3 months before the pandemic. And we'll kind of get into how I learned very quickly, getting thrown into the deep end of a membership organization, how to provide value and how to really sort of right the ship of a membership organization from a financial and an operations standpoint, right before a pandemic, when we could no longer meet in person and we had to really kind of prove our value the most. So after the first year, I became partner in the business. And after the second year, I actually bought the business. So I've been owning and running the business now since December of 2021.
That is amazing. And for everyone who doesn't know Together Digital, what kind of members, like, kind of give us a viewpoint of what the members, who the members are?
Yeah, we've got about 500 women from across the country. We've got women who work in digital marketing, advertising, technology, you kind of name it. We aren't necessarily beholden to titles. Digital is an ever evolving and growing field. We have women who have been in the industry anywhere from 5 to 25 years, women who have been highly educated in the field, and women who are self-taught. Again, the beauty of digital and tech. We have a lot of women who work in branding companies, agencies, companies, corporations, marketing agencies, lots of those, obviously. Marketing agencies and branding agencies kind of tend to be like the top groups. Yep. That represent the most of our groups. We had a lot of women who are entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, which is a growing number of women. We see a lot of women leaving corporations and starting their own businesses, which is also really rad to see. Where our women, our median age, I would say, is about 35. We tend to see women joining because, you know, they need kind of what I was needing, which is that sense of connection, community, empowerment. They're not finding it in the workplace. They aren't finding psychological safety and support always within their culture and environments in the workplace. And so we become an extension of that so that they can show up and be at work, be their whole selves as much as they can. But really, Together Digital is sort of that safe space for them so they can come to work, be their whole best selves because they've got that safe space beyond the workplace even. And so, yeah, it's kind of a great mix of women across the board.
I love it so much because I think you're kind of starting to get into some of my next questions, but you keep talking about how it's a safe space. And obviously, we're going to talk about memberships today and communities, I think, are a part of that structure too. But the safe space has to be, I think, one of the key components, which leads me into my question of what are the key components? So if anybody who's watching or listening are, you know, if they're trying to or they're thinking about starting a membership, or maybe they're running a burgeoning membership or a flailing membership or a flailing community, or they want to start a community, what are those like must have components to make sure that that will take off for their business?
Well, I have to say, I've been there. I'm not going to lie. I took over the organization in November of 2019. We were kind of in a boom phase, but we were also on the verge of a bust because we were growing so fast. And the process of growth was really more about quantity versus quality, I will say. There weren't fantastic operational practices in place. There wasn't a lot of financial responsibility in place. And from a cultural standpoint, it was borderline toxic. It wasn't always sunshine and roses, because I will say within feminism and women's movements, historically speaking, even, it's not always been healthy. And so when I came in, it wasn't all neat and tidy. And then throw on top of that, the pandemic, the murder of George Floyd, a ton of social unrest, all of us being under quarantine, a lot of us working moms at home with kids. So it's just a hot, stinking mess. And I can't say, Brooke, with any honesty at all, that there weren't tons of times that I was like, I'm done. Like, I can't keep doing this. But I think the reason why I can sit here and tell you these are the things that matter and why is because I have the scars and the wounds and the lessons learned. And I really do believe the things that really matter when it comes to creating a culture of trust and psychological safety is that it requires transparency is the first and foremost. It really does require bringing the elephants in the room to bear, as painful and as difficult that as that might be for some of those that are in leadership. I think when you're kind of working through understanding what are your company's sort of values and what value you bring into the world for your members, if you're not being honest with yourself about what those are and with your members about what those are, you know, everybody knows it. I think that's the hard thing. It's so hard to hide any longer. And so I think, you know, transparency, number one, understanding and knowing and living your values and expressing those clearly and often, number two. So those two, I think, were very, very important for us. So those getting those kind of two ducks in a row. And really, once we kind of understood the value of transparency and our values and kind of reiterating those and living those time and time again. And then from there, just the consistency of kind of always sharing those and showing those, it's really helped us to attract the right members. So now it's not always about the quantity for us, it's really about the quality, right? It's about the kinds of members that we're bringing in, because now we might not have like 1,500 members, but we've got 500 very engaged, very committed members. Our membership retention rate is anywhere between 95 and 97%.
Wow.
You know, week over week, month over month. And that is because of the transparency and the clear sense of value that we bring to the community and to our members. And so I think those two things were very, very paramount for us. And I think for me, at least, were really important. Outside of that, I will also say, you know, just a strong operational foundation and process, I think, are two other really important things. I'm a big proponent of a membership experience. Members, when they come in, it needs to feel easy breezy. It needs to feel convenient. If the membership experience isn't smooth, if it isn't convenient, they're not going to stick around. And so I think kind of helping solve for that is another reason why once they're in, making sure that the user experience and getting them in the door and getting them to stick around, that's really, really key as well.
So tell me, well, two things. One, you said, which I say all the time, and you didn't say it in these words, but this is what I heard. Small is the new big, quality over quantity.
Oh, 100%.
That's my marketing mantra these last few years. And especially when we're working with social media clients, like small is the new big. Stop looking at the number, right?
Yep.
You have 500 people who are truly engaged with a 97% retention rate. That's incredible. But my question came up when you were talking about the values of you and matching those or aligning those to the value of your members. Is vulnerability part of transparency, or do you consider that a separate core value? Or because what I heard you say was like, really, if you want your members to be vulnerable with you, which obviously you want that in this type of membership and community that you have to be vulnerable. So is that part of transparency, or how do you look at vulnerability?
I put those two together, and I think vulnerability, I think it is definitely a give and a take, right? You can't require vulnerability from others and not give a little bit yourself, right? And I don't think it requires that you give everything up, right? You don't need to just show up and spill all the tea, right? I think you need to give for what is required for the moment, what is appropriate, what feels right within the moment, I think makes sense. And then that opens up that door for them and allows them to then sort of know what is right and what is appropriate for the moment. In that essence, you're modeling vulnerability is kind of how I see it. Model the vulnerability so that they in turn know what they can model back.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so you inherited this membership or bot, I should say.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Let's just say somebody who's watching or listening again, they're in that position of they want to start a community or start a membership program, right? Membership models are all the rage. You always hear people saying, especially in our industry of marketing, like, hey, create a membership. It's a great moneymaker. But you have to first start with your target audience. So do you have any advice on how to identify and understand? It's almost like an ICP or an ideal customer profile, but it's an ideal member profile or ideal community profile. What's the work that goes into that, if you can share?
Yeah, no, I definitely get the appeal of a membership model. It's recurring revenue. It's very easily calculated. And it's one of those things where I look at other business models and I'm like, oh, the agony of the unknown. But there is a lot of work that goes into it because you're right. You really do have to have a good foothold in understanding of your ICP. And I would say that for us, I think the magic has been in sort of understanding not just the demographic information, but the psychographic information for us, really. And for us, I think it has been more life stage, as I mentioned earlier. When we survey our members, which we tend to do every year, it's been really understanding sort of where she is, not just in her career, but also in her life. And we do tend to find that we tend to attract women who are at a pivot point in their career. They are hitting the kind of atypical glass ceiling, right? Whether that be motherhood or becoming a caretaker of an aging parent or the other like middle management rung, the broken rung. There's so many terms out there that honestly, like I've kind of started to forget all of them, but I could list them for you somewhere at some point that women sort of face all of the coined terms out there. But middle age, we've got a few members that are like over 60 as well, that are beyond menopause, that are like, I have more energy now that I am past that point of going through a monthly cycle. My kids are grown. If I had kids and are out of the house and I have all this renewed energy, but society has marginalized me to the point of being irrelevant. And yet here I am in the prime of my life, ready to kick some can I cuss? I didn't need to ask before
but,
we started.
But just say but.
But to kick some booty. And no one sees me. I am basically invisible. I think, you know, we've got some really amazingly talented women and we've got some very strong, powerful women as well who come to us and, you know, sort of feel like, yeah, I'm highly visible. And yet I feel like there's a big part of me that is unseen. And that is maybe the more vulnerable part, right? So I think it's really interesting to me that the ones that are coming to us, they're not just coming for the badge of honor or the prestige. They are truly coming because they have a gap in the sense of a sense of belonging or connection that they're not getting out of the workplace or their social circles. Because maybe their friends don't work in a similar industry and they can't nerd out over certain things or sort of relate to whatever it is that you need to kind of nerd out about.
AI has been a massive disruptive force over the past year. That's why we're excited to announce our brand new show, introducing AI Explored. It's a weekly show hosted by me, Michael Stelzner. If you want to understand how to put AI to work, this is the show for you. Each week, we'll dive deep into using AI to your advantage. We're talking the practical, tactical stuff that I know you're probably craving. Search for AI Explored on your favorite podcast app and happy listening.
I want you all, if you're listening or watching, to take a moment to pause and rewind and listen to how specific Amy got with the experience of her member, right? She talked about all the different, it was almost like a customer life cycle if we're talking marketing, but it was her member who is a woman in the marketing space and the life cycle that they go through throughout their time in their career or their job or whatever it may be. And I think that's so important because you could have just said women in marketing, right? Like, but you didn't. You got so specific on what each one of those women was experiencing at that point. So I love that. And this is kind of a leap to go to the next question, but how do you price something like this? Like my wheels are already turning. I'm like, oh my gosh, I wonder, do I have a membership opportunity? What does that look like? Pricing.
Yeah. I just wanted to say too, sorry. And I just don't want to leave anybody out. And I could go on and on and on about all these women, but I also do not want to, I sort of kind of was very age specific there and in life cycle, but I also want to call out for women of color because they are obviously very marginalized and are constantly asked to wear a multitude of masks within our society and within the workplace. And it's very fatiguing. And I also do and am trying very hard to make Together Digital a safe space for them as well.
I love that.
So I do want to make sure that, you know, in the kind of demographic of and psychographic of Together Digital, that they are very much a part of our DNA. Pricing is another spot for us because our values, this is again where this may or may not be a part of your consideration set when you are talking about pricing. Because Together Digital, we are a small business, but we are a mission-based business. And because of that, I try very hard to keep our pricing equitable for women. So we offer student memberships, which are $90 for a year, which is awesome, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Students, if you're listening, I mean, that's a hell of a deal for all we have to offer. And for annual members, it's $390 for a year, which honestly, too, compared to a lot of other membership associations for marketing and advertising, hell of a deal.
Yeah.
And then we also have a monthly membership, which the first month trial we've learned works really, really well. $15 for the first month, $40 a month thereafter. We get a great conversion rate. And I highly recommend if you're looking at a membership model, annual and monthly is a great way to go. We've played around with 6 month and quarterly. Keep it simple. Don't go with more than two options for like kind of like your mainstay memberships. Keep it with those two and then do some testing and learning, but don't change it up often. I will say over the last 5 years, we tested the quarterly and then we tested the 6 month. We only did it for about a year for each of them. And then once we had the data, we kind of pulled back and sort of kind of sunsetted both of those memberships after we kind of learned and saw that it was too much to have a third component. And then those memberships kind of fizzled out after a while. So having two membership options seemed to be the most feasible. The prices were based on our operating costs at the time and pre-pandemic. That might be another way you factor in your costs is your operating costs. And again, for us, it gets a little more complicated. Again, being mission-based, we're kind of always playing with that tension of our operating costs, which are always increasing as we grow, but then also trying to maintain fairness for and equitable for our members. Because again, historically speaking, we are underpaid 86 cents to the dollar from every man. So it's like, how do we remain equitable? This is how we do it. Men, sponsor memberships for your women.
Yes.
For your female teammates, not your women. Sorry. You don't own them, but pay for the memberships. And then from there, we also have recently just worked into, and it's not totally like open and live yet. I wish I could say that it was so I could send you out there to start donating. We actually created a Together Foundation, which is a nonprofit subsidiary of Together Digital. So we can start taking donations to then support memberships for women who can't even afford them, period. So if they're without a job or maybe they're on maternity leave, then we can sponsor memberships completely for a year for women who can't even afford them. Or if you're signing up for membership and you are in a good paying job and you can afford to pay a little extra for your membership, then maybe some of that goes to another woman who needs it to kind of pay it forward. So we've definitely kind of, like I said, have sort of played around with some different options for memberships. But I would say looking at your kind of operating costs and then sort of what value you're trying to bring, look at competitors, what they're charging, do some surveying, you know, perception. There's a lot that goes into it. I'm not going to name names, but there are some folks out there that provide a lot less than we do and charge 10 times as much, y'all.
Wow.
10 times as much. But price is sometimes perception. Price is sometimes perception. Good for them. Good yeah. for them.
Hooray for them. But yeah. You talked about the whole small is the new big. You have around 500 members that are highly engaged. They have that 97% retention rate. How'd you do that? Like, for those people who are listening and watching, how do you maximize enrollment, but also engagement? Like, how do you have the best of both of those worlds?
Yes. Think about it. If you have, I'm trying to think of a suitable analogy. Say you're trying to get so many people into a stadium and you have one door. If you just create like a single file line and you sort of let 500 people kind of like in the door, it's just so much easier to let people sort of in the door one at a time when it's just 500 people versus 5,000 people and trying to cram everybody in. It's manageable because we aren't trying to just force as many people in as we can at any one time by dropping our prices super low so we can get as many people in, or by overextending ourselves and our resources by just trying to overhype ourselves or overpromise. I think a lot of it has to do too with just the fact that like we just really truly do take care of every person that walks through, and I'm using air quotes here for people who can't see me, our virtual door. So for example, thanks to the pandemic, during COVID, we had to change the way we did things. The previous founder did this amazing thing of just getting in her car and driving from one city to the next, sharing her story and starting the organization. It was brilliant. It was expensive, right? You got gas. You got to show up at each event. You got to pay for the venues. You got to pay for the hotel. You got to pay for the food. And you got hordes of people in each of these rooms, but you can't have a conversation one-on-one with each of them. Where it was different for me was all of a sudden, here I am, the CEO, and her husband had this brilliant idea of like, he's like, Amy, how about you do member one-on-one onboarding with each new member? And so I created a Calendly, and every Tuesday and Thursday's afternoon, my calendar is open to meet with new members. And so for the last 4 or 5 years, I have had the wonderful opportunity of spending every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon meeting face-to-face, 15 or 20 minutes, with any new member that wants to meet with me. And it's wonderful. This is how I have all the psychographic information. Outside of our survey, I get to hang out with them and learn. How did you hear about us? What are your goals? How do you need help? Not just professionally, but personally. And then I get to say, oh, not only like, here's the Slack channels you need to join. Here's past content video you need to watch. Here's our podcast episodes you need to check out. Here's the next masterclass you need to take. Oh, also our national conference is coming up. I can't wait to see you there. Oh, here's the individual member you need to meet because you guys are going to get along so well. I mean, it's just so awesome. Now it's like just getting that like one-on-one time with each of them. It's been one of my favorite parts of being in this role. And it's just such a crazy thing. I know so many of us are like, ugh, Zoom fatigue. But it's removed that barrier of having to physically be in so many places. I mean, I still do plenty of traveling and in-person events now, thankfully. But yeah, it's just given me the opportunity to meet so many amazing women and meet so many of our members one-on-one.
Okay, so I love this because I feel like that one-on-one piece is so important. And what I've heard from other people who I've talked, you know, with their memberships about, they have like office hours or some sort of one-on-one yeah. element. But my question there is, how do you ensure long-term sustainability with that model? I mean, obviously you have to make it your priority, but like say the group does grow to 5,000, will you still try to make yourself available?
I will still figure that out. It's all about process. So we have it set up. So when they sign up for their membership, they get a set of like a drip campaign of emails, and it always includes my Calendly link. Set up your email with Amy. Then they'll get a welcome Slack that says they get several reminders to do this one-on-one with me. And then because of thank you Calendly and automation, they'll also get another reminder. And then also because of Calendly, 30 days out from our meeting, they'll get another reminder to do maybe another follow-up.
Wow.
And then 60 days after, they'll get maybe another one. And it kind of just goes from there. And oftentimes, like at that point, it's kind of like once we've like checked in once or twice, it's kind of like they're moving out, right? They're grown up now. They're meeting with other members. And we kind of just tend to interact within the community at that point. I'll like I'll see them at other in-person or virtual events. I'll see them within the Slack community. They might DM me from time to time. And so like at that point, you know, it's kind of just like we're out in the world together, kind of just seeing each other in passing. But I think that's just another thing too, that I find funny and interesting kind of in owning my own business and kind of creating my own culture is I was never one of those ones that was much on like hierarchy or leadership that made themselves inaccessible. Just because I have a C in my title, that's why I changed it. It still says CEO, but it's Chief Empowerment Officer. Like that's what I'm here to do is help to empower people. And I think part of my job to help empower others is to make myself available to them, you know, as much as I can. And so for me, that's just something I'm always going to do. So when others are like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for making time for me. And I'm like, no. Thank you for making time for me. Like my time is no more precious than yours. Honestly, like you're the one paying to be here. So like I value your time as well.
That's another great element. Like I think like you're saying like, oh, thank you for making time for me. Like I feel like that is one of those key ingredients to having a successful membership or community is that one-on-one time with the boss, right? The C person, whatever you want to call it. But I think that that lends to part of why your group is so engaged and has that high retention rate is because they have that time with you and you are accessible. And then I want to touch on something else you said too. You were talking about like automation and Calendly, which leads me into it takes some technology to do what you're doing. So can you share with us what role technology plays delivering your membership services? And are there any specific tools that you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we use anything too fancy, quite honestly. So probably not a whole lot of surprises here. A lot of our members kind of our membership engagement sort of exists within Slack. A lot of great automation set up there for community management, engagement, which is great. Slack has been a great partner to us, and they're even impressed with like the level of membership engagement with our community. We have been on Slack since 2016 as well, I will say. So we were an early adopter.
Wow.
And our members have been highly, highly engaged on that platform. We love Zapier. It works within a number of platforms that we use from an integration standpoint. So just getting one platform to talk to another, moving people around. For a payment platform, Stripe has been great. We use Stripe for payment processing. Also great from a membership standpoint, just to kind of see that recurring revenue, what's anticipated. Also really great if you're just kind of dealing with like refunds and things like that, which you're going to have to do when you're dealing with cancellations or if somebody's got like, they're like, oh, don't put the payment on that credit card, put it on this one instead. Stripe's really great for that. We also use on the back end, Members 365, which is a membership management tool on the back end. I will say, do your homework here. It is a daunting process finding a membership management tool on the back end. They can range vastly in their capabilities and in cost. However, it is the most critical piece of what you will do. And I would say, just kind of decide what it is that you want to be doing on that platform. Do you want to be just managing membership information and your dashboard from there? Or do you actually want to be leveraging it as your CRM as well? So like we use MailChimp as well for email marketing, but that requires some duplicity and effort in email management from the CRM, from our Members 365 to MailChimp, kind of a headache. I won't get too detailed. I don't want to put anybody to sleep. I'm just saying, do the homework. You can make the choice, make a good choice early because you're going to want to stick with it. That was one thing for me. If I could go back in time as a business owner and maybe do again, making a move once a membership business has started, you cannot move membership platforms without asking everyone to opt back into payment. And you will be amazed at how many people are paying for a membership and not paying attention to the fact that they're still paying for it and maybe not using it. Nice fact is that you're kind of cleaning out your folks that are just paying and not using it. And you're like, oh, I don't want to take their money if they're not using it. But also, it's kind of nice. That's how a lot of membership companies survive, you know, Netflix and Amazon and this is why so many membership organizations do kind of exist. And that's not exactly why we want to exist anyways. So that's kind of why I can still sleep at night. But that hit us hard, quite honestly, moving platforms on the back end. It saved us some pains in some places, but it definitely hit us pretty hard and having to kind of really take a look at our revenue stream and be like, well, we had more people kind of just passively letting us charge them every month than what we realized. So I would say really pay attention to what platform you're using. Make sure it has what you want to use it for and that it's going to be something that you're going to want to stick with for a long time so that it has good customer service. It has the features and the functions that you want it to have. And that if you are going to, if it needs like an LMS, like a learning library on it for like, if you want something to do, like if you're going to be doing any kind of education for your members on the platform, if you want to host that there, make sure it's got a good user experience on that end too. So that's what I mean when I say it could kind of take you months to kind of dig in, do the demos, sit with the sales team, talk with the tech and development team, kind of pick it all apart, test all the platforms and really sort of see what might work best for you, your team, ultimately your customer.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I think that was just, again, pause and rewind for the whole tools talk that we just had because, woo. I mean, like, so you like, here I am in the beginning of the chat. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do a membership. And then you started talking about that. I was like, not this year. So I love the advice, though.
Yeah, give yourself at least 3 or 4 months just to pick the platform for the membership management tool.
Yeah.
Alone.
Yeah.
And that's, I would say maybe more like 6 months. My past team member, Julia, if she ever listens to this, she's like, oh, 6 months, Amy. Because I'm pretty sure if I go back and look at our project timeline, we probably gave ourselves 6 months. And then I still would say, I mean, I don't know if more time would have changed like our choices. It was just less about us not really acknowledging like the overall impact, like us understanding like how much time, energy, and money the migration ended up costing us at the end of the day.
Yeah. So I think that was just really the golden nugget of the show was that little section right there.
Yeah.
I cannot believe we're coming up at the end of time. But last question for everyone who's watching or listening, where do you see membership models going for the marketing industry? Because again, I feel like a few years ago, I want to say pre-COVID, right? Memberships used to be all the rage.
Yeah.
And then they kind of went quiet. And I feel like now they're coming back. So like, what's your take on memberships now, where they're going, what the future is, trends, all that stuff?
Membership models go back even farther than that. I worked on the birth of the Gillette Shave Club in response to the Dollar Shave Club when I was still in advertising. I want to say back, it was before I had my kids, back in 2012. So it's been more than 10 years. This idea of membership has been around for a while now. So consumers are savvy. And if you look at the numbers and some of the news lately within Netflix, even losing subscriptions, subscription and membership, consumers, they're savvy. They get it. They love the convenience, but as soon as they realize the inconvenience, they are gone. So I think now more than ever, it is important to not only message and emphasize the convenience of membership, but continue to drive the importance of value while also making sure that the experience is consistent and sound and personalized. And, you know, I think for a community like Together Digital, because we are so unique, you know, I don't know. I think it still serves. I think this is why you see things like Netflix serving up percentages of what, you know, matches you. I think we have to be that much more personalized. It has to be that much more customized. It has to be that much more white glove for people. I need to feel like I'm getting that much more value for giving you my money, either month over month or year over year.
tell everyone who's watching or listening where they can find you, how they can find out more about Together Digital. Maybe they can go make a donation so some lovely ladies can have a free membership sponsored by them. All those things.
Absolutely. So you can always connect with me on LinkedIn, Amy Vaughn, V-A-U-G-H-A-N. On LinkedIn, I'm kind of always on there since I'm always networking. And then Together Digital, you can find us there, togetherindigital.com. You can go there, check out memberships. You can join there. There's also information as well about sponsorships. And then we are so close, Brooke, as I mentioned, to having the foundation and everything set up for donations. But for now, you can email us at info@togetherindigital.com. And if you want to ask about sponsoring some memberships, we can totally just, we can figure it out right now. We can get that set up so you can sponsor some memberships for some women, because we definitely have lots of ladies who are in need who could definitely use some of the content and the connections that we've got within this community to help them grow their careers.
Yes, I think that's my plea for you. You know, we have a great community at Social Media Examiner and here for the Marketing Agency Show. So if you are a woman or a man who is, you know, an ally of supporting women, consider emailing and finding Amy and finding out how you can sponsor this, because what a great opportunity you would be able to provide for someone who can obviously get a lot of personalized, white glove, beautiful membership and knowledge out of Together Digital. So thanks so much for joining me and telling me all about your journey. It's been so interesting, and all of the amazing tips you shared on membership. Everybody, we'll see you next time.
Thanks so much, Brooke.
Thanks for listening. If you're new to the show, be sure to follow us. If you've been a longtime listener, leave us a review. I'm at Brooke Sellis on Instagram, and on LinkedIn, check out Brooke B. Sellis. And for fun, don't forget to tag at SM Examiner. Also, be sure to check out our other shows, the Social Media Marketing Podcast and the Social Media Marketing Talk Show. This brings us to the end of this week's Marketing Agency Show. We'll catch you next week as we explore the adventures of marketing agency life.
The Marketing Agency Show is a production of Social Media Examiner.
If you're like so many fellow marketers and creators and entrepreneurs, you're probably wondering, how do I put AI to work? Well, be sure to listen to the AI Explored podcast, a new show from Social Media Examiner, hosted by yours truly, Michael Stelzner. Again, check out the AI Explored podcast.